The Bible reading is taken from 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, and then chapter 16, verses 1 to 14. 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, starting at verse 1. The Spirit of God came on Azariah, son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. In those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. He removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin and from the towns he had captured in the hills of Ephraim. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. And now chapter 16. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Asa, king of Judah. Asa then took the silver and gold out of the treasuries of the Lord's temple and of his own palace and sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. "Let there be a treaty between me and you," he said, "as there was between my father and your father. See, I am sending you silver and gold. Now break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." Ben-Hadad agreed with King Asa and sent the commanders of his forces against the towns of Israel. They conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. When Baasha heard this, he stopped building Ramah and abandoned his work. Then King Asa brought all the men of Judah, and they carried away from Ramah the stones and timber Baasha had been using. With them, he built up Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord ranged throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war." Asa was angry with the seer because of this. He was so enraged that he put him in prison. At the same time, Asa brutally oppressed some of the people. The events of Asa's reign, from beginning to end, are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the doctors. Then in the 41st year of his reign, Asa died and rested with his ancestors. They buried him in the tomb that he had cut out for himself in the city of David. They laid him on a bier covered with spices and various blended perfumes, and they made a huge fire in his honor. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Katie, for reading that to us. It's a long reading, but it's worth it as we take up what we saw in the family activity earlier. And it is worth listening to that again if you've not listened to it yet. And take on that and then think about one particular aspect and how it relates to a common feature of our daily life. which is for us in Britain, how we use the NHS or generally medical help and support. And I want us to think about that issue of how as Christians are we to use the NHS faithfully. Now you might be thinking, well, that's a silly thing, David. Surely it's the same for a Christian as a non-Christian as to how you use the NHS. Well, the answer to that is no. No, for two reasons. Firstly, knowing Jesus changes everything. There is nothing we do that should look or feel or be the same as that of somebody who doesn't follow Jesus. We know resurrection life. We know the hope of eternal life. But secondly, no, because actually I think in this reading from Asaph, we have a fantastic example of how we could use medical help wrongly. Each year I read through the Bible as part of my devotions. And one of the things I love as I read through the Bible, and I do love it, I grow in love for it every time I do it, are its throwaway verses. And what I've discovered is that the Bible's throwaway verses are never throwaway. And every time I've read through the Bible, I've been struck by this little throwaway verse about Asa's diseased feet. And his response is, it's an odd ending to a story involving battles and fortifications and idols. Well, three things brought me back to this verse. One is that recently, as you may know, for about just over 5 weeks ago, I had a hip operation to deal with the arthritis that was first diagnosed over 15 years ago. And it's been quite a long journey. But over the last 2 months, I've been confronted with actually having the operation. Secondly, COVID and the national response in particular to the NHS. Our doctors and nurses and carers have been elevated in our thinking. And finally, that not only did I come across this verse in my devotions in the lead up to the operation, but during my holiday, I listened to a sermon online and I heard a sermon preached on this very passage. And I thought, well, maybe the Lord is directing me to speak a little bit about that today. So let's just refresh ourselves for those two final verses. Verse 12. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the doctors. Then in the 41st year, that's just a couple of years later, Asa died and rested with his ancestors. So clearly, Asa, we hear here, used the NHS of his day wrongly. So we need to take warning. It is possible to use doctors wrongly. But does this mean, though, that Christians shouldn't use doctors or nurses or any sort of medical help? Now, some of you will be thinking, even as I say that, don't be ridiculous, David. You're just getting carried away. That's the sort of irresponsible talk. But I have a sort of slight respect for those who consider that question. The reason that they've got something right, that those of us who dismiss the question maybe have got something wrong, is that they understand that following Jesus should make a difference. So we're going to see two things. We're going to look at what Asa's sin really was and why actually his mistake wasn't that he went to the doctors. That was actually a reasonable thing to do. So we're going to look at what Asa's sin was, and then we're going to look at how we avoid it ourselves. So what is Asa's sin? Well, I repeat, it's not that he went to medical advice. How do we know that? Well, because we use Scripture to interpret Scripture. We use the Bible to interpret itself. One of the wonderful things of the Bible is it is inspired by God. We read that in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God, we read. And what that means is that there aren't contradictions in Scripture. Now, you might be thinking, well, I've heard plenty of people say there are contradictions in Scripture. I'm sorry, they're wrong. And in my experience, as soon as I ask them, well, give me some examples, either they have none, they've just bought a lie passed on to them by someone else, or they have not looked deeply enough at Scripture. Or perhaps they're hostile to Scripture and they want to see contradictions where there aren't any. Whatever it is, Actually, one of the truths of the inspiration of Scripture is it doesn't contradict itself. And what that means is we can use one bit of Scripture to help us understand another. So in this passage, we're told Asa went to the doctors and that he didn't seek the Lord. There's a number of possibilities. Is it that he was wrong to go to doctors at all, and that's how his not seeking the Lord worked out? Or is it that he went to the doctors and that was all right, but that in going to the doctors he hadn't sought the Lord? Well, when we look at the rest of Scripture, we realise it's that second option which is true. In 1 Timothy 5 verse 23, Paul tells Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach complaint. He doesn't just say to Timothy, just pray to the Lord for healing and he'll remove your stomach complaint. In fact, maybe that's been Timothy's problem. He hasn't realised that God might use human solutions to bring about the healing that Timothy wants from the Lord. In Colossians 4 verse 14, Paul writes and greets Luke the physician. He doesn't say Luke, the person who was a doctor, but then he became a Christian and realised that all doctors were bad and that he should give it up and go and find a job in a more reputable profession. No, Luke was a Christian who continued to help people out with his medical knowledge. But also there is 2 Kings chapter 20 verse 8. In a similar passage, a king is now ill again, this time a bloke called Hezekiah. And he, unlike Asa, goes to the prophet Isaiah. He seeks the Lord. And then the Lord's solution through Isaiah is to provide a sort of poultice in order to heal the boil that is killing Hezekiah. In other words, God directs Isaiah to a medical solution. So Asa's problem and our problem isn't that we go to seek medical help. Asa's problem was that he had stopped going to the Lord. We saw how he started so well. He sought the Lord and he removed idols. He was really diligent about that, even deposing his grandmother. And that when he saw a threat from a foreign army, he sought the Lord. But we saw that by the end of his reign, he had grown in his confidence, not in the Lord, but in his own abilities for diplomacy as a king, but also in the powers of other human beings. He changed. His hope for salvation moved from the Lord to himself and to others. Ironically, whilst he had pulled down the idols of stone and wood, he had elevated the idols of his own capability as a king and the strength of other neighbouring kings and the skill of the doctors. And so God confronts him through the prophet, but Asa's response this time is not to turn back to the Lord and not to listen to the prophet. Why? Well, notice the first time the prophet has a positive message for Asa, and so he laps it up. But now that God's word challenges Asa, he shuts it away. Isn't that a challenge to us about our handling of God's word? And so we get this episode of the feet, a disease that ends in his death. Whether it causes it, we don't know. But it certainly means his last 2 years of life are tragic. So here's Asa's real sin. It is that the focus of his hope has moved from being solely on the Lord and fundamentally on the Lord to moving towards human strength. Yes, the Lord, as he looked to the Lord, would provide sometimes human agents to be the agency of his work. But now Asa just went to the human solutions. He stopped trusting and seeking the Lord because he thought his real hope could lie elsewhere. So the message here is not that we shouldn't use the NHS or doctors as a Christian, but that when we use them, we should always have first, underlying, and ultimately and completely our eyes fixed on the Lord as our hope and our Saviour. So how do we do that? Because for some of us, well, we use the NHS from time to time. It's kind of a safety net in the background. For others of us, it is perhaps even the major part of our lives, regular trips to the hospital. Well, if we go to the Lord Jesus first and finally and all the way through, we will remember a number of things. We'll remember first that the NHS is not my saviour, the Lord Jesus is. Secondly, the NHS is not my God. It is a gift from my God. And that the third thing is that the one who gave me the NHS has a plan for my life, and that will change everything. So first, the NHS is not my saviour. It's been very striking, the national response to the NHS. And there's been a right recognition of the incredible work of many of those who are working in the NHS at all sorts of levels, from porters through to surgeons and everyone in between. And I was struck by that in hospital. I was struck by hearing about the measures they had to take during COVID. It was so striking. And then we've had the clapping for carers on a Thursday evening. And then we walk down the street and we see rainbows, and NHS are our heroes. Not all superheroes wear capes, it says, although ironically, many who work in the NHS do. But that's another thing. But it made me think that it's very easy for us to move as a nation from being thankful for the NHS to seeing the NHS as our saviour. And here's the thing. The one we look to as our saviour will become our God. It's been brilliant doing the hand clapping on a Thursday evening whilst we were doing it, although I think quite sensibly they set a date to stop it. But here's the thing. In previous generations, at a time like this, we would have gone to church as a nation. We would have prayed to the Lord because he would have been our ultimate saviour. I'm not saying that actually we shouldn't have done the hand clap. That was a really good thing. It's saying we should have even more importantly been prioritising prayer as a nation. Our Saviour has moved as a nation and perhaps in our hearts from the Lord to, in this case, the NHS. But the NHS is not our Saviour. In the early years, Asa looked to the Lord. By the end, he looked to himself, other leaders, doctors, but not the Lord. And actually, the verdict of our passage is worrying. Because to all intents and purposes, everyone said at the end of Asa's reign that he was a great success. We're told they buried him in the tomb and they sort of celebrated his life. They built a huge fire in his honour. But actually, God's verdict is that he had gone hopelessly wrong at the end. We don't want to find that whilst others would say, oh, David led a great life, the Lord's verdict is, but he stopped worshipping me. He started worshipping human strength. He started worshipping the NHS, or whatever it is. You see, the thing is, Asa's mistake was ultimately he put his hope in things that could not ultimately save him. And so it is true for us as Christians using the NHS. We use it with thanksgiving, with great gratitude to those who serve us in our illness, often with great care and compassion. But here's the thing. The NHS has never saved anyone's life. Not eternally, and not even temporarily. It's done a wonderful job of delaying death, and we're grateful for that, and relieving pain and limitation. But here's the thing. For every one of us, the NHS will ultimately fail us. Our last breath on earth will be a reminder that the NHS is not our saviour. But here's the thing. That's often not the impression it gives, and not for bad reason. When you go to a doctor, when you go to a nurse, they really want to reassure you. And so they're always telling you about how things can be made better. And it's very easy to take that desire to comfort us and for us to start thinking that the NHS or doctors or nurses are our hope. None of us really expect to go to the doctor and hear the words, "There's nothing we can do." In fact, often we don't hear those words because by the time that's come, we are now unconscious. So the NHS is not our saviour. It's a wonderful thing. It may be what God uses to provide us some salvation in this life. But it is not our Saviour, the Lord Jesus is. And secondly, the NHS is not our God. The Lord Jesus is. Asa was meant to write out the law of the Lord and read it regularly. But he stopped listening to it. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 to 12, God has a warning for his people. He says this: when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, Asa should have read this, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of goods you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He had stopped realizing that a human help was a gift from his Lord, Asa, and he started thinking that it was his God. And that's worth remembering about medical help. Medical healing through the NHS is a gift from God. It warns us, actually, from thinking it's something we're owed. It stops us having a distorted sense of expectation. See, here's the thing. We are incredibly wealthy in this country. Everyone in this country, for this reason at least, everyone, well, until recently, has access to the NHS, has access to some of the world's best and most cutting-edge medical care. And we don't have to worry about whether we can afford it. It is free at the point of use. I was thinking about that as I lay in hospital waiting for the hip operation, and now I've received it. I thought, there are tens of thousands of people around the world who need this so much more than I do and have no hope of receiving it, cannot earn money in order to put food on the table because of their damaged hips. And I get it just like that. The danger for us in the West is we think we're owed the level of care we have. In fact, actually, even worse than that, one of the concerning sides of the NHS is that there is a danger that because of our wealth as a nation, we plunder medical professionals from overseas and bring them over here rather than them being able to offer the care they've been trained in to their own nations. When we receive medical care in the NHS, we should receive it with trembling hands, recognizing that it is a gift from our Lord that we do not deserve, we cannot claim as a right. The suffering is what is normal. That there are many in this world who deserve the care we will receive far more. But the Lord, in his grace, which we cannot explain, has given it to us. But thirdly, that the one who's given us this care has a plan. Romans 8:28, we've been thinking about last week, and it says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Your doctors and nurses and porters and cleaners and catering people in hospital are hoping to return you to something a little bit like normal. But God intends to transform you with blessing through your illness as well as any healing. Your illness and disability or suffering are intended for your good, we're told, so don't waste them. There are two goods that God intends. The first is to make you more like Jesus. That's what we read. If we read the crucial next verse in Romans 8:29, which says, so that we might be transformed into conformed to the likeness of Jesus. God's purpose in your illness is to transform your character so that you reflect Jesus' glory more. You might think, well, I don't want that then. I want just healing. Well, what if you're wrong? What if the one who made you, who died for you, who loves you, who is infinitely wise and immeasurably powerful, tells you that being more like Jesus is incomparably better than getting better? Will you trust him? And will you use your illness to become more like Jesus? But secondly, the blessing God wants to bring in you is to make you more focused on glory. God would use your waiting for healing to perform eye surgery on you. Not physical eye surgery, but spiritual eye surgery, so that you might regain your long-distance eternal vision. It's very striking in the Bible. You look at Luke 18, verses 35 to 43. It's a story of a blind man healed by Jesus. And that's not an unfamiliar story in the Gospels. Because here's the thing. One of the themes is that those who cannot see physically end up seeing spiritually so much more sharply. This blind beggar is waiting. And he hears a commotion. And he hears a crowd in Luke 18, 35 to 43. And he says, "Who is it?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." But what does the blind beggar shout out? "Jesus, Son of God, have mercy." The crowd see a man from a small town who's got a big reputation. The blind man sees the Messiah who will bring him forgiveness and healing. So use your illness to prepare for death and glory. I know that's so unfamiliar. You never hear that. You're always told, especially actually when we find ourselves in the medical treadmill, we mustn't be negative. Well, actually, for the Christian, thinking about death is not negative. That's the most positive thing we can do. So when you're ill, use it as a way to fix your eyes on the life after death where there is no more illness. I read this lovely thing in Isaiah which says, that when it comes, when glory comes, the lame will leap like a deer. Now, my consultant has told me I'll be able to run again. Once the hip has settled down, I'll be able to cycle and swim. He never said I could leap like a deer. Let me tell you, when I played rugby, I could barely leap a centimetre off the ground. I'm going to leap like a gazelle when I get my eternally new heaven and new earth here. When I go to hospital, one of my jobs is to prepare people for dying. But it's become very difficult because nobody wants to talk about it. And when they're finally, it's clear that they are going to die, they're normally unconscious. But every once in a while, I meet somebody, and I met somebody just a few months ago. They were very ill, and in fact, we thought they were going to die. Miraculously, through the NHS, God has brought them healing. But I was so blessed. Because they started talking about their death and that they were ready for glory and that they were looking forward to it. Normally I come to these things thinking, okay, what am I going to say? And maybe slightly preoccupied. And I went there feeling quite anxious about a number of things. I left that time blessed like you cannot imagine. Buoyed up. Rejoicing. Wouldn't you love that? Wouldn't you love it in hospital, if people visit you, they leave rejoicing? Because they see your hope. So very quickly, just to finish, because I've gone on too long, just some steps that we can take to help this. Firstly, as we find ourselves interacting with medical professionals, keep praying for healing. It's a reminder that the Lord is your only real hope, and a reminder that He has promised to heal you. Maybe through partial healing in this life, maybe through medical help, human agency, or maybe through miraculous intervention. But He will certainly bring about your total and abundant healing in glory. Now, I found in the weeks after the operation that praying was more difficult. I had more time, but less strength. So what do we do? Well, remember that praying isn't just saying stuff. It can be just lying in God's presence, recognizing that He is with us, sort of fixing the eyes of our hearts on Him wordlessly. Prayer is also reading the Bible, and prayer is song. So do listen to the Bible. There's some great audio Bibles out there. Somebody said the great thing about their audio Bible was it's the one thing they listen to that they don't need to filter. Isn't that lovely? You're going to find yourself waiting around a lot if you have appointments. That's my experience. Hours sometimes. Redeem that time. Spend that time not on our phones, not even nosing a book. But let's set aside some time just to sit there and say, "Lord, thank you that you're with me here." Secondly, name Jesus. You're going to meet people you would never otherwise have met. So name Him, and you will find you're blessed through that. Because the flip side of us plundering other nations for their medical professionals is that as a result, I've found that there is a disproportionately high number of believers in hospitals. The number of nurses or porters who turn out know the Lord. I find that often because I go in with a dog collar and then the nurse comes over and talks to the person and says, well, I'm a Christian as well. Now, if they'd named Jesus, they would have found that out days before. And finally, learn scripture. I have to say, it's one of my frustrations as a minister, and even here at St. Patrick's. Because one of the things I've said repeatedly is the blessing of memorizing scripture. I believe in it because Jesus clearly did it. And yet, I don't really know anyone who's made it a discipline as a result. Well, let me tell you a story. When I was, and the reason this is important is that Asa stopped listening to God and his word. He imprisoned it. He shut it away. I'll finish with this story. I'm sorry I've gone on. When I was coming round for the operation, I actually found the whole prospect of the operation really difficult. I found myself crying the night before it. And when I was coming round, I felt really disorientated and really down for some reason. I don't know why. And I tried to message my family to tell them that I was all right. They will tell you that the messages I sent were totally incoherent. I was vaguely aware of this because predictive text had given up trying to make suggestions. That's always a worrying thing. But here's what I could do. I started saying out loud, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is coming in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of troubles. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Was this a prophetic word from the Lord by his Spirit? Well, yes and no. It was a passage I had memorized with the staff team after Easter because we were struck by it. Don't be Asa. Don't push God's word away. You're going to find it harder to read God's word when you're in hospital. Make sure you have a memory bank of scripture so that when you find yourself in that circumstance, you can find the comfort of God's word brought to you by his Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the warning of Asa. It's tragic how he ended. And, do you know, I wish he'd realized where he'd gone wrong. I'd like to have a happy ending. But Lord, thank you that even in the unhappiness of this ending, it reminds us that we can be different. Lord, when we use medical resources, may we be thankful to you. May we keep on praying to you. May we name him, you, to those we meet. And may we hold on to your word. I ask this in your name. Amen.